This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Mike Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
Hallelujah. Well, good morning, everyone. Y'all ready to receive today?
Yes.
Everybody say it together. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Let's say that one more time. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. How many of you believe that this morning? Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up.
Wake up.
So good to see all of you this morning. We're delighted you can be here. Praise God. I'm telling you what, the greatest days of our lives are yet in front of us. Did you hear that? Like, I don't know what that was, kind of a groan. But the truth of the matter is that the very best of our lives is in front of us. Hallelujah. You know, I know that we live in a world that is filled with a lot of turmoil and a lot of chaos and a lot of problems and all kinds of things. But Jesus is Lord. And that's why he came, to be able to deliver men and women from that very thing. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when we walk in the light as he's in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness and sin. So thank God he came. We celebrated it here a few weeks back about the resurrection of Jesus. You know, a week or so ago, he showed up and revealed himself to Thomas, who was a doubting outfit. Said, nah, I ain't going to believe that unless I see. 8 days later, Jesus walked through the wall and said, what do you think? A lot of things changed. But you know, his admonition to Thomas was simply this: don't be faithless, but believing. And I just admonish you, and I want to encourage and exhort you this morning, don't be faithless. Believe God. Believe the word. Trust what he said. Amen. Yeah, but it's getting so dark, and this and that and the other, and all these things, and whatever. How many of you know God was well aware of everything that's going on in our generation before you and I even ever showed up? So hallelujah. You know, we sang, he's the way maker. Is he not? Praise God, he certainly is. So you have to think about that, because the reality is while he's the way maker, you then have to ask yourself the question, what's my part? Right. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're enthused about that, because that's actually what I want to talk about. What your part is in all of this, because absolutely, he did everything that was necessary for you and I, so that we could have life and life more abundant. And some of the things that I share with you this morning, I realize that they're going to be challenging. But how many of you like to be challenged? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take that as a, yeah, I do, but I just didn't respond quite so well. The truth of the matter is, you guys, truth is truth wherever you find it. He said the truth will make you free. And sometimes truth challenges us. It requires, if that's the right way to put it, that we make changes in our lives so that we can enjoy what he has to give us. It takes discipline. Sometimes it requires diligence on our part. But I tell you what, I'm looking at a whole group of folk, man, they're just all over it and ready to go. Full of the joy of the Lord, ready to make it happen, do whatever it takes, hallelujah. If you could only see what I see. Hallelujah. Amen. But I believe that, because praise God, he's in us. The greater one is in us. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul was writing in Romans, and he talked about all the adversities, challenges, obstacles, different things that they were dealing with, you know, and he you know, kind of went through this thing, you know, who's going to lay charge to any of God's elect? We are the people of God. Can you say amen? Yeah. We belong to him. He's ours, and we are his. And he has given us a place in Christ Jesus to be able to overcome. And so as he was going down through this litany of different things, you know, tribulations, persecutions, all the things that come our way, he concludes by saying, no. He said, in all these things, everybody say all of them.
All.
In all these things, we are more, everybody say more, more than a conqueror through him who loved us. Not in your own strength, not in your own might, not in your own ability, but through him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? So when it comes to our lives and we're having hardship or difficulties or challenges, thank God we can do whatever it takes, whatever we need to do. In relationships, we can do that. In parenting, we can do that. In sickness or disease, we can do that. When we have, you know, resource needs and things, we can do that. Why? Because he's with us, he's in us, he's for us, and he's on our side. No, in all these things, in all these things, in all of them, we are more than conquerors through him that loved. I mean, it'd be all right if he just said we're conquerors, but he said more. Everybody say more. Everybody say I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Amen. Praise God. He provided everything that you will ever need. So again, he is the way maker. He's made a way. He's not just, you know, working on it. He's done it. So again, you and I have to determine what our part is and all that. So I want to share this message with you this morning entitled, How Big Is Your Want To? How big is your want to? You know, when some people, when they get a hold of something and they want it, man, I mean, they just, whatever it takes, they get after it. Can you say amen? When I was pursuing my wife, I was a junior, she was a sophomore. We ended up in the same class together because I got caught cheating and they flunked me for the semester, so I had to take that class over again. I know you know that I, you know, you wouldn't think that I would ever do that. I broke into the school. Yeah. And I laid on the floor with a couple other guys, and you know, there was night lights, you know, so they were coming in the window so that we could take the, get the test and copy down all the answers. So the next day, man, we are ready for the test, huh? And so we handed out, and it's an interesting thing because a number of us got caught, and I won't go into all that detail because we haven't got time for that, but some of them didn't get caught, like Al Hadfield. Is Al here? He's counting money. There he is right there. You know, the thing about Al Hadfield, I've known Alan for all my life. I mean, essentially, you know, 45, 50 years, maybe 55. And that guy always lands on his feet. And so he didn't get flunked. You know, he just laid in the weeds until everything settled down. Then he came back out, you know, and there it was. So anyway, I had to take a psychology class with sophomores, and she was in that class. And, you know, I walked in that class, I thought, So I went, and she had this ring on her finger, and she was dating some guy. And I said, when are you going to get rid of that ring and date a real man? Now, here's the thing. She has a different story, and she's never actually had the opportunity to communicate it. And we'll probably just leave that be. She tells me that she was, you know, kind of on the way out in this relationship anyway, but I know better. I mean, she took one look at me and go, hey, I gotta have some of that. Amen. And the rest is history. But here's my point to all of that. You gotta want it. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you gotta pursue things in life. And, you know, of course, that's a natural circumstance or example, but at the same time, spiritually speaking, it is too. You know, Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll get filled. You know, people say, well, you know, I hungered and thirst. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Because if you did, you'd have got filled. Now, Jesus is not a liar. And he said, if you hunger and thirst, you'll get what? You'll get filled. So if you didn't get filled, it was not his fault. You probably just didn't do what was, now I told you it's going to be challenging, all right? But I'll try to, you know, throw a little levity in there, you know, just kind of keep you happy as we go while I'm beating you up, you know, and stepping on your toes and doing whatever. But you know, the fact is that if a person desires something, you know, if the desire is big enough where their lives are concerned, they'll stop at nothing in order to make that come to pass in their lives. So there's this desire, this ambition, you know, that has to be present within our lives as believers. You know, it's like he says, whosoever, let him come. So everyone means you're the one. And yet we see so often, you know, where there are those that, you know, they don't, things don't seem to come to pass in their lives. They don't get, well, whose fault is that? I mean, I got to ask, you know, this important question. Is that God's fault? Or are we missing something here? Because I got to tell you, you know, in life, I mean, like it or not, you know, there's got to be ambition. There's got to be desire. There's, you know, so again, I ask you the question, really, how big is your want to? Do you want to get out of whatever it is that you seem to be having a conflict in? But whenever you have desires, things you want, there's always, everybody say always, there's always going to be battles. There's always going to be obstacles. Pastor Brian talked about roadblocks last Sunday. There are always going to be these things which endeavor to keep you from obtaining what it is that he has promised, the way maker. Hallelujah. And so it's important for us, you know, to understand. Always remember this, dude. I mean to tell you, your want to is bigger than any enemy that you'll have. I said your want to is bigger, isn't it? Come on now. Come on. I need some help here. Your want to is bigger than my enemies. You know, people say, well, I'm ready to get out of debt. How many are ready to get out of debt? Question is, do you want to do it his way? Come on now. I said, do you want to do it his way? In other words, is your want to big enough to start tithing? Well, I don't believe in that. Well, then you need to read your Bible. Well, you know, God didn't say I had to do that. You know, all you got to do is read the Bible. And he said, bring your tithes into the storehouse so that there's food and nourishment in the place, in the house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord, if I will not pour out a blessing upon you that you're not able to contain. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know, I've been at this for over four decades. We have, I should say. You know, and I've watched people come and go. I've seen people make decisions that they were going to be tithers. And I tell you what, praise God, God turned their captivity and brought blessing into their lives. You can't outgive God. Are you listening to me? You know, and people will say often, you know, well, I just can't afford to give. Well, you can't afford not to. Why? Because it opens up the door of blessing. You know, throughout the scriptures, and again, this isn't really our subject, but, you know, from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, he said, you can partake of everything that's in this garden. You can just enjoy life and hallelujah. But that tree right there is mine. Huh? Yeah. Don't partake of it. Well, they did. And that's what happens when people rob God. You know, the Bible talks about, will man rob God? That's what happens when you don't tithe. You say, well, I don't like you very much. Well, you know, you will. Hallelujah. Just stay with me a little bit. I told you this was going to be challenging. We had one person came to our church, and they were preaching a 100-fold return. How many of you know sometimes you can get a return of 100-fold on your giving? Well, she figured that, okay, well, and she literally kept track for 3 months of every dime that she gave to the church. And after 3 months, she decided, this don't work. And they left the church. You know? Yeah. You say, would anybody do that? Oh, yeah, people did stuff, all kinds of stuff. Dude, you got to decide who it is that you're going to serve. You're going to serve money, you're going to serve God. You're going to obey God, or you're going to obey whatever it is, you know, whatever your whims and desires are. Are you listening to me? Well, I understand she was mistaken about the concept of giving and things of that nature. And it's to be regretted because, unfortunately, you know, as far as the church is concerned, they never did have any more time with it. But I'm just saying to you, dear folks, you know, do what you want, okay? I mean, no pressure. But I'm just telling you, praise God, you got to ask yourself, how big's my want to obey God and do his will? You say, well, I don't have faith for that. Well, then get in the book and let the book get in you to where you can rise to the place of saying, I'm making some decisions where I'm going to be putting him first. I'm going to be doing what it is that I need to be doing. I'm not going to rob God, praise God. If anything, I'm going to give him more than I need to. Because I know that I can never outgive him. So that's one way to think about that and to honor the Lord with your substance. You know, people say, we're talking about how big is your want to. People say, I want my marriage to work. How bad do you want your marriage to work? Oh boy, sure gets quiet. Is it big enough to start living right? Is it big enough to say I'm sorry? Is it big enough to make things right, no matter what? You know, eating humble pie is not always the greatest fun, but I tell you what, it does yield a harvest of blessing in your lives. And see, I would just suggest to you that if you don't want to do those things, then you don't have a very big want to. You know? You may have to come up, finish. Hallelujah. You know, you have to stop talking ugly about your spouse to other people. You say, well, I don't do that. Oh, yeah, you do. You get in your little clutches and everybody's having problems, and so we're going to try to one-up everybody to tell the other person how big of problems I've got with Knothead here. Are you listening to me? Happens all the time. And while you're talking, you're setting the course for your life. And it's not a good course. So you got to ask yourself, you know, what am I going to do here? Well, first of all, maybe you need to stop talking to those folk. You know, misery loves company. Are you with me? And it is to be regretted, and we all do have challenges, and we all have to deal with kinds of things. But listen to me, be smart. Don't walk into the trap, because whether you realize it or not, all of that conversation is creating something. How many of you know none of us are perfect? Huh? None of us. And so there's always going to be those issues. So that's why the Bible says that we're to believe the best in every person. Find something good to say about them. Hallelujah. Wow. The enthusiasm, the energy that I am sensing right now is just over the top. But we are talking about things that will make a difference in our lives. Amen? Amen. So people will say, I want my children to be raised right in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want them to respect me. I want them to be well behaved, etc., etc. So my question to you is simply this. How strong is that desire? How big do you want to? Because you can do it. Well, you know, they have something special going on in their family. No. No, they just took the time, invested in their kids, did what was necessary, put other things aside, and decided that I'm going to spend my time with my family. There's nobody that I know that has done that more than what I've ever seen than my son, Pastor Brian. I mean, I want this guy to go do stuff with me. He goes, no, Dad, I can't. No, Dad, I can't. And it's always about the family that God has blessed him with. And so he has four wonderful kids that love Jesus, one of which is on the platform here most of the time, and they're doing the right things. Sometimes you got to put your stuff on the back burner. Well, this is what I want to do. I want to go fishing. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do the other. Well, always remember that when you make those decisions, there comes with it a consequence. If you're not in your kids' lives, then they are not going to be the kind of kids you want them to be. Amen. Told you this is going to be challenging. But you know, here's the good news. You can turn it around. You know, there's just certain things that we have to get out of our lives and do differently. Are you with me? And you will never, ever regret it. Did you hear me? You certainly won't. I want my family to live for God. We're talking about how big you want to. And I'm just getting into practical stuff. I'm going to, you know, before it's over with, dude, we're going deep. Hallelujah. But right now, you know, people, I want my family to live for God. How many of you want your family to live for God? I didn't see your hand, George. Could you get your hand up there? There you go. I'm watching you right here. Yeah, there you go, Kim. Help him out. I want my family to live for God. Well, here's the question. Are you willing, how big you want to, are you willing to take the lead? What do they see in you? How is Christianity being modeled? You know, you know, it's not this thing where just do what I told you. You know, no, they want to do what you do. Everybody say, I can. Do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I just want this to be a defining Sunday in your life where instead of we sitting around commiserating over what isn't being changed, that we make decisions right now that says, you know what? We're done with this. We're not going to have this anymore. I need to make some corrections. I'm going to do it right now because things are going to be different from here forward. And sometimes, you know, you gotta, I know on a number of different occasions, you know, I had to sit my kids down and I just had to say, you know what, kids, I wanna ask you to forgive me. I'm sorry, because I haven't, you know, done or whatever the case might be, you know, and modeled things the way that I should. You know, it's okay to say you're wrong. Are you with me? Because that is the first step towards you being healed, being made whole. But if you want to be stubborn, if you want to be arrogant, if you want to be full of pride, and you want to say it's not really my fault, and there's so much of that, come on now. Am I in the right house? And people, you know, they'll just ignore the issue and nothing ever happens, nothing ever changes. I want things to change. How about you? Well, then I got to do some things differently. Glory to God. Amen. You know, the Bible says this, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, looking all over the earth to show himself strong. Everybody say strong. How many of you know this morning God wants to show himself strong in your behalf? Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, he's the way maker. Glory to God. But we have to cooperate. And sometimes that just means doing whatever it is that's necessary. You know, God shows himself strong for people who don't want to give up. Now, I know the things that I've just outlined about parenting, your family, personal life, your spouse and marriage, all of these different kinds of things. You know, I mean, I know that it's not easy. You know, they're just, I mean, life is just not always easy. Life is not always fair. But you got to make up your mind and make a decision. You got to settle it in your own heart. I don't care. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Because God has something great in store for me. And I refuse to let the world that is around me or anything else rob me of what it is that God has for me in my life. Now listen to me, folks, I'm gonna tell you something here. This, I think we all know this, but it's so important for you to realize that you are swimming in a cesspool. You know, it used to be that our country was a Christian country, you know, and for the most part, everybody, you know, is flying right and love God and fearing him and this and that. It's not the case. Today, we're living in a different kind of world, in a pagan world, really, where self is being promoted in every way. And so here you are, you know, and you have decisions you have to make. You know, Joshua said, you need to choose who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're not going to allow culture around us to how shall I say this? I want to say incubate, because a lot of times, whether you realize it or not, people are being groomed to be victims. You are not a victim. You are a victor. So your thinking, your thought life, your thought pattern has to be just that, that Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the one who has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And I have given you authority, jurisdiction in this world to be the kind of person that I have called you to be. But if you listen to the world, you listen to everything that's going on around us, everybody, they want a handout. God will bless your life when you put your hand to something. Are you with me? And the only reason I bring it up is because, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, the bad luck that they've had and the hard luck that they've had and who's done them wrong, all these different kinds of things. Think about Joseph. Here the guy has a God-given dream. God-given dream. And what does it get him? It gets him sold off into slavery. And not only that, when he's talking about his own life in purity, in morality, in doing what is right, he ends up in prison. So how often in our lives, you know, that people will say, you know, every time I try to do something right, this is what I get. Come on now. You know, I try to, you know, take the high road, be the good guy, all these different kinds of things, and this is how I'm rewarded. Ever said that? Ever thought that? Ever experienced that? Happens all the time. But I'm telling you what, I want you to be a bigger person a bigger person than to succumb to the, that's the last time I'm ever going to do that. That's the last time I'll ever this or that. Don't do that. Trust him. I'm telling you what, praise God, Joseph didn't stay in the prison. Huh? I said he didn't stay in no prison, and he didn't stay no slave. But he had decisions to make, choices to make, and he just said, you know, my want to is bigger than this. And I'm telling you what, dear friends, your want to is too. Sometimes you got to stir it up. Take just a moment, if you would, put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder there a little bit and shake him, just a little bit. Okay, there you go. Hallelujah. So important. God said, I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, I told you in the early part of the service that the very best is yet to come. But it's only if you and I maybe readjust our thinking a little bit. Are you with me? He goes on to say, then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I'll be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Did I ever give you a scripture to open a text with? Okay, let's do that. We're down the road here some distance. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Jesus had been praying, as was his habit. The disciples had seen him often in prayer. And in this time, it came to pass that when he was praying in a certain place, that he, when he ceased, this is verse 1 of chapter 11, his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And then he said, when you pray, and then he gives us what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Well, at the conclusion of those principles of prayer that he outlined, notice with me in verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. I say to you that though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his, King James uses the word importunity, some of your Bible translations will say shameless persistence or shameless stand. So again, he says in that verse, though he will not do it because he's his friend, he said, yet because of his shameless persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. To him that knocks, it'll be open. If a son were to ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he were to ask a fish, would he for that fish give him a serpent? Or if he were to ask an egg, would he offer him a scorpion? Well, if you then, being evil or natural, know how to give good gifts, everybody say good gifts, good gifts to your children, how much more, hallelujah, shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In Matthew, when he recorded this, he said, how much more will your Father give good things to those that ask him? Now, you know, sometimes we've interpreted this and thought to ourselves, you know, well, you know, that just means we just got to keep bugging God. No, no, God's already established his plan, purpose, and will for your life. It's more about your being persistent to having done all to stand. You stay put and don't move. Hallelujah. It's like the friend says, though he will not give, you know, maybe he won't open his door because of the friendship or relationship they have, but because of his shameless persistence, dude, you're going to open that door and you're going to give me what I need. Why? Because of that relationship. Now, you know, Jesus is telling this story, and notice with me, if you would, in verse 5, it said, which of you having a friend shall go to him at midnight? That's interesting. You know how many of you know sometimes midnight can be a little bit inconvenient? And sometimes midnight can be the midnight of our lives, when it seems the darkest, when we seem to be having the most problems, when it looks like things are not working out, when it looks like everything's went the opposite direction that we need. Paul and Silas were in a jail in prison, and at midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. How many of you have ever been in a midnight hour of your life? We all have. And chances are we might have another one. But I'm telling you what, just because midnight comes doesn't mean that God's not in your midst to help you do whatever it is that needs to be done. It's at that time when we got to gird up the loins of our mind and be strong in the Lord. Come on, say, I can do that. You can do that. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? You know, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he was in a dark place. He was at a midnight hour in his life. He's trying to pastor these people in Ephesus, and they're giving him all kinds of problems. There's persecution everywhere, and he's just wanting to faint and give up, lose heart, and just say, what's the use? But you know, Paul said, hey, stir up the gift of God that is on the inside of you. And I'll tell you what this morning, dear friends, that's what we need to do. You need to stir up the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of you, so that you can be charged with the charge of life, so that you can carry on. When you can say, no, in the name of Jesus, we're going over, not under. There's always going to be those times in our lives. And that's where, praise God, the greatest victories happen. Are you listening to me? I mean, I could go through this congregation and I could talk to you about people that have battles in their lives and how God supernaturally delivered them. Glory to God. I'm thinking about Tom Bates. You know, one time in his life, he had a great obstacle or storm that came into his life. And I can remember as a young pastor, I didn't even know what to tell him. But I said, you know what, Tom, all I can tell you is that the love of God never fails. And if you'll stay in the love of God, God will turn your captivity. And guess what? Something is sitting right beside him 30 years later that he's got to be blessed by. Can I get an amen? I tell you, we all just give him a great big hand clap. But he didn't give up. And here's the thing, you guys, you know, you get in situations and man, it's dark. Dark. Steve Rozell was sitting in a jail, all messed up on drugs and just absolutely out of his mind. And God came into that place and visited him. And look what it is that God has given to that man. Are you listening? Yeah, come on. And I can tell you about all kinds of people where their healings were concerned and things that were going on. Yeah, we experience dark times in our lives, but I'm telling you what, glory to God, God is on your side. I'm telling you, he is on your side. Yodi, I'm telling you, you and your wife, he is on your side. He's for you. He's not against you, glory to God. Jake, Cassie, he's with you, man. Hallelujah. You say, yeah, but I'm having to swim through a whole bunch of stuff. Well, welcome. Yeah. He's for you. So for you. So while the devil's telling you, you know, nobody cares about you, nobody this, nobody that, you just say, you're a liar. I know better because it's true. But again, how big do you want to? You got to have a big one. Come on now. I told you about Joan. I got her. Hallelujah. Everything's working out good so far. Amen. I'm still working on her, but it's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know the other thing about want to, sometimes it requires a sacrifice. Sometimes you just got to give stuff up. You with me? You know? But it's whatever it takes. And there'll be obstacles on the road to victory, on the road to the will of God. Notice right here, there's an interesting part of this in verse 6. Notice the guy said, you know, there's a friend of mine that's come to me in his journey. I don't have anything to set before him. Now, notice verse 7. And he from within will answer and say, leave me alone. Trouble me not. You know? Don't you have stuff in life that's barking to you like that? Don't bother me. Trouble me not. Notice he goes on here to say, the door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give to thee. No, he could rise and give to him. He just didn't want to. And I'm just telling you guys, sometimes we don't want to, but sometimes you, how many of you ever get up and you know, you wake up and you don't want to get up? Like this morning, huh? Your pillow's in a perfect place. Your body is just, I mean, you know, right there. The covers, they're, I mean, wow, man. I mean, everything's just right. And you have to get up, huh? You can relate to that, can't you? But sometimes we just got to get up. We got to rise up. We got to stand up. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do the other. Well, you know, the reality is you just have to get up and do it. Are you with me? Everybody say, I can do that. You can do that. Don't listen to the voices of people around you, the naysayers and all the people that are always, you know, talking ugly about this, that, and the other. Anybody can do that. But you're not one of them. I said, you're not one of them. Hallelujah. And so, you know, here's another thing about when you have a strong want to, you can see stuff that nobody else can. You know? Call it vision, call it whatever you want, but I mean, when there's a desire on the inside of you, a lot of times other people, they won't be able to see it. And so they kind of, for lack of a better way of saying it, kind of poo-poo on the idea. I remember when we started this church, God spoke to our heart. We didn't have nothing. Everybody say nothing. I mean, we didn't have nothing. We didn't have no building. We didn't have, you know, we come on Sunday mornings, you know, and we enjoy, you know, the properties and facilities and everything and all the ministry that's available for us and our families and things like that. When my wife and I said yes, we had zero, nada, you know. But we had 34 other people who said, you know what, we believe in what it is you want to do. And we took off. And away we went. And yes, were there obstacles? Hallelujah. Yeah, all kinds of obstacles. You know, and here's, I say this often, you know, but there were no Word of Faith churches. They didn't exist. We had religious, you know, denominations and things, but nobody was preaching the Word of Faith that you can actually trust in God and have victory in your life and overcome the world. Hallelujah. So we weren't the most popular thing on the block. Everybody thought we were a cult because we were too fanatical, too excited about this Jesus stuff, huh? And so, you know, you got to deal with that. How many of you know that's an obstacle? And you just got to say, I don't really care what you think. Hallelujah. That's one of the smartest decisions you can make sometimes, huh? And we just kept it going. And then we didn't have no building. We started in Daryl and Nadine's house. We moved to another home for about 11 or 8 months. And then we ended up with a building over there where our offices and stuff are. And it was just a building. And it leaked like a sieve. It was just terrible. Everybody say terrible. We had 10 acres and a terrible building. Hallelujah. But we love Jesus. You know? And so little by little, little by little, little by little, we built another building. And then we built this building. And God only knows what we're going to do after that. Are you listening to me? And so you got to understand that you're going to have challenges in your life. But I'm telling you what, praise God. I want you to go out, get up, get on, and shake that old snake off into the fire. Hallelujah. And start doing what it is that you got in your heart to do. Hallelujah. And then find someone to come alongside you and put a whip in their hand and say, hey, help me make this happen. Amen. Years ago when I was 12 years old, I wanted a mini bike. And my dad said I couldn't have one. Now, I'm not advocating this. If your kids start doing this, then maybe you need to talk to them about it. But you got to realize I wasn't safe. Back then, you know, the whole breaking into the school and doing all that and this here, maybe not such a good idea, but you know what I'm saying. It's a good example. Anyway, I had a friend of mine, and he, somehow or another, he had a frame that actually had been built or designed with a motor on it. So it was like a pedal bike. You see them now a little bit, you know, they use electric now instead of gas or whatever. But anyway, he had this bike and it had a motor on it. Motor was shot, it was no good. And so what he did is he pulled that motor off of it and he ended up getting a four horse. Everybody say four horse. Yeah, Briggs and Stratton. Whew. Four cycle, baby. Hallelujah. And I watched him drive away. It's kind of like when my son bought his motorcycle. He said, "Dad, I want a bike." I said, "I ain't buying you no bike. I'll buy you dirt bikes. I'll buy you four-wheelers, all that. But the road bike thing, that's you're on your own." So as soon as he got out of the house, what's he do? He goes and buys this bike. He comes rolling up into our yard, you know, and he's showing me this bike. It's beautiful, you know. He says, "Well, I guess I'm going to go ride." You know, I said, "Well, okay." And he's driving down the driveway. I'm thinking, he's going to go have fun. And I'm standing here. So next thing I know, we're looking for a motorcycle. We find a motorcycle. I asked my son, I said, "What do you think about this bike?" He says, "If you don't buy it, I will." I said, "Okay." So I bought a motorcycle. Well, back to the mini bike. I watched my friend drive off. Like, you know, and you got to understand, this is like Peter Fonda, Easy Rider. You know that era? You want to be like them? I ain't got nothing. I got a bicycle. It's a Swin. It's a three-speed, you know, one of the things, and all it does is pedal. And so I just decided that I was going to put my bike up on the altar of the bench, and I was going to sacrifice it, all right? Now I was going to cut the post out, you know, in the middle, which actually is kind of an important part of the structural part of a bike. And I went, you know, and I found myself somebody that would weld this metal plate on it, you know, for the motor to be on. I got this piece of junk, you know, two-cycle motor. It was a 2.5 horse and burned oil like crazy, but it ran. Everybody say it ran. And I put that thing on there, man. Then I had to go down to the hardware, and I'm rummaging through, and I find a back tire that I need with a sprocket on it, and I bought it for $16. Woo! Hallelujah. But I'm getting closer. I'm talking about how big is your want to. And you know, so then I got this thing all put together and I got it running, you know, but I didn't have a seat. I don't know if I broke the seat. I don't know what happened. So I got me a piece of plywood and I got me a big old piece of foam and I sacrificed my security blanket. It was a cool blanket. It was green. It had all kinds of ropes and everything, and it had cowboy, you know, brands on it and everything. I cut that sucker up, baby, and I wrapped it around that thing, and I, you know, and I stapled that thing to it. Dude, and I had a seat. Before you know it, baby, we were driving all over the place. Amen. Yeah, got picked up once, too. Imagine that. Stay off the highway, it's easier. And I mean, we no more pulled out, and here comes a highway patrolman right behind us. So I had to go see the Justice of the Peace. They don't have those anymore. And you know, when it was all done, my dad had to go with me. Cost me $15, got fined. I don't know how come I'm telling you all this stuff. But anyway, it got all done, and we're driving down the hill from Jack Apples. It doesn't exist anymore because they moved the whole hill. Driving down there, and my dad, he never looked at me, never said a word. This is before school. Rosie, I had to go before school and go see Jack Apple. Is Kelsey in here? Yeah, you're related to them, aren't you? Somehow or another? Great grandpa. He was the justice of the peace. And he goes, "Well, Paul, guess we got a little bit of an issue here with your boy." "Yeah, sure do, you know." So anyway, he says, "Well, how about $15? Okay, well, that's what it was. So he paid the fine. We're driving down the hill. Now, you got to understand, my dad didn't want me to have this in the first place, remember? For this very reason. Okay? So we're driving down, and he never even looked at me. He just said, "That'll never happen again." In other words, this better not happen again. You know what I'm saying? So I had to be a little bit more under the radar, you know, in order to do my thing. I'm talking about how big is your want to. Man, I had so much fun on that bike. Hallelujah. And then my engine died. I'm trying to quit. It blew up because it was a piece of junk. And I wanted a four-horse Briggs & Stratton four-stroke like the one my friend had. Why? Because it would pull hills and never even grunt. And it would go 18 miles an hour with the governor. It was just perfect. Are you listening to me? Well, the only problem is that motor was $98. $100. And so I had to beg and I had to do everything I could. I finally got my dad to buy that motor for me in Underwood, Iowa, of all the places on the planet. And man, I put that thing on there and it was awesome. Now there's a downside to this. I'm trying to quit. You know, there's a downside to this, and that is that with that motor, if your throttle sticks, then the governor will just stay open and you'll keep going 18 mile an hour when you don't want to be going 18 mile an hour. And I was going down somebody's driveway and they had put cobs on this driveway. You know, the whole thing was covered with cobs, and I was going down, you know, and I'm getting to the, there's a corner, you know, that goes around to go out to the highway, and I want to slow down, and it didn't want to slow down. And so I put my feet down, and when I put my feet down, all it did was open it up more. So it was bail time. So I bailed off this thing, and it goes shooting off into the cornfield. I don't know. Anyway, and it destroyed my bike. Now it still ran, but I didn't have a throttle. So all the way home, I tied a wire to it. We're talking about getting home and how big you want to and all that. So I just tied a wire to the throttle, and I brought it up to the handlebar, and man, I just kind of did one of these things, you know, to get whatever I needed so I could go home. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you just got to do whatever it takes. That's my point. Took a long time to get there, but you had fun on the journey, didn't you? Amen. Well, I know something else about the pastor now. Hallelujah. So my point is, I don't know what my point is. How big is your want to? Amen. Jesus said, if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll open. God will open up the door. He's not, here's the thing. I want to say this to you as we, I don't know whether we close or not. I still got a little time. Amen. Okay, you ready for this? I'm going to get right down to where the rubber meets the road. Some people just don't want to. They don't want to do what it takes. But I believe better of you. And I realize, like I said, sometimes it's difficult, it's challenging. But at the end of the day, people, they just don't want to. And you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. How many of you know that? But I tell you what, praise God, on your own, you can do, you know, whatever it is you want to do. A lot of times people, they just don't want to. They want to stand around and complain. They want to make excuses. They want to blame. They want to find all these different reasons why this is that and whatever and complain about what's going on. None of that does any of us any good. How many of you have noticed that? So we may as well change that. Here's the thing. What, you know, when David wrote the first Psalm, he said, blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Those are the people that complain. Those are the ones that are always griping. Those are the ones, you know, that what for whatever, whatever, whatever. He said, but blessed is a man who doesn't do that, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. This is a great way for you to change your mindset, and that is to feed on the Word of God. Feed on the promises of God. It'll change you from within. Are you listening to me? Some of you don't like what you're hearing, but it's still good anyway. Come on now. Help me, help me, help me, Amy. Help me. Amen. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Why? Because when you delight yourself in the Word, you're going to find out, praise God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. And if God be for me, who can be against me? That's what you'll discover. His delight is in it. He meditates day and night, and he's going to be like a tree. She's going to be like a tree that's planted by a river of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither, and whatever that person does prospers. Everybody say it together. God wants me to prosper. He wants you to prosper. Hallelujah. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to enjoy. Glory to God. All that God has. Here's an illustration. Remember the guy at the pool of Bethesda, the guy that was infirmed? You know, he'd been crippled all his life. Jesus just said, will you be made whole? Do you want to be well? And you know, I've said it before. I mean, he should have said, yeah, I'm in, yeah. But instead, what he did is what we do so often. He says, well, you know, I don't have any guy. You know, whenever the water moves and somebody else gets in, are you listening to what I'm saying? Huh? What he should have just said, hey, man, yes, yes, yes. Well, as a result of the mercy of God, he said, stand up on your feet, and he got healed. But we don't want to be that person. We want to be the one that's standing, you know, leaning forward. Are you listening to me? As such as do wickedly, the Bible says the world will corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. They'll take action. They'll get after it. They'll do what is necessary. You know, I talked about, you know, Joseph. I mean, think about it, man. That guy, you can't keep a good guy down. You can't keep a good woman down. Think about Joshua and Caleb, you know, when everybody else was naysaying, they said, hey, let us go up at once. We are well able. Glory to God. Where'd that come from? The Bible says Caleb had another spirit about him. He wasn't whining about how old he was. He said, I was 40 years old when we were in Kadesh Barnea. And, you know, I brought word as was in my heart. And now here I am 40 years later. And I want you to know I'm as strong now as I was then. So I want you to give me that mountain. Don't talk about how old you are. I don't want to hear it. Just say you're older. Because great things can happen. Syrophoenician woman. She had a daughter who was possessed of the devil. And she came to Jesus and she wanted deliverance. And he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs. Well, that'd be a little bit discouraging, wouldn't it? Jesus is calling her a dog. And she said, yes, Lord, you're right. But I tell you what, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And he said, you know, you're absolutely right. So you can have it. She had a big want to, you guys. She wasn't going to be denied. If she had to humble herself or whatever it took, and she got, her daughter got delivered, said, go your way, your daughter's free. And it was. So when we sometimes, you know, want to feel like, well, you know, I'm not getting a fair shake here, you know, and this person isn't doing what it is that they need to be doing, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Let's just stop that. I said, let's just look at things a different way. How big is your want to? Blind Bartimaeus, standing or sitting by the roadside begging, blind. And he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He says, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on me. And you know, the people around him shouted him down. But you know, they were warned. They told him to keep still. And you know what he did? He said, okay, you're right. I'll just kind of lay over here and not do anything. No, he didn't do that. He cried the louder, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. I mean, you know, when you get hungry, I'm telling you what, it'll cause Jesus to stop in his tracks and go pay attention to you. And he went over to him. And I'm telling you, Bill ministered to him and he got healed by the power of God. Are you listening to me? Can that happen to you? Can that happen to us? Can our circumstance change? Absolutely. Hallelujah. Oh, let us stir ourselves up. Let's stir our hearts up, praise God, to pursue the things that God has for us. If it's a better life, a better marriage, a better family, a better whatever, glory to God. God wants you to have it. And he's not withholding any good thing. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to want to, and you can. Everybody say, I can. Do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what's it going to be? You decide. I mentioned to you about Joseph. What about David? This guy, man, I mean, he serves the king flawlessly. And with absolute abandonment of his own will, purposes, and plans. And he's serving the king, and all of a sudden the king realizes that he's a threat, and so he decides he's going to have to get rid of him. Now he's fleeing for his life. Here's an innocent man doing right, just like all of us. Sometimes, you know, we're doing stuff right, and yet hell shows up. And you know, and I know there was a time in his life of discouragement. He says, I know someday I'm gonna fall at the hands of Saul. Well, that wasn't God's plan. Even though a lot of times in our lives, it looks like, you know, that we'll say that, that ain't never going to work. It ain't going to turn around. Nothing's going to happen. You know, all that kind of thing. God is standing there going, you forgot about me. You forgot about my plans. You forgot about the purposes that I have for you. Huh? Well, David ended up being king, didn't he? I said he sure did. But on the road to the fulfillment of promise in his life, you know, I forgot all you guys are over here. Hallelujah. On the road to the fulfillment of his life, he had some obstacles. People tell you all the time that you can't do stuff, but I'm telling you, praise God, with God, you can do everything you want to do, and then some. Amen. And now I do have to quit because we're at the end of the time. Throw a bad attitude overboard. If you've had a bad attitude, and it's easy. Like I said, it's in the air we breathe, the water we drink. Everybody's, you know, don't have a good report. But you know, faith always has a good report. Can you say amen? Amen. Throw bad attitudes overboard. Drop the luxury of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a luxury that you cannot afford. Amen? Just let it go. Hallelujah. So many people, you'll talk to them and they're knotted up about something that's going on. It can be 25 years ago. Well, it's time to let go, isn't it? I said, it's your time. Why don't you stand with me, if you would please? I got to quit. Hallelujah. Well, how many are glad you came today? Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to start out with a new view, a new look. Some of you, you know, you've been in battles and you're fighting and all this and that and the other. Hallelujah. Let this just be a refresher for you. Hallelujah. To where, you know, it's kind of like when you're dealing with stuff and it's just perpetual and it seems to be chronic and, you know, it's just wearing you down, wearing you down, wearing you down, wearing you down. I want the message today to be something that causes you to go like this. Hallelujah. Stand up. Glory to God. Be the person that God wants you to be. Amen. You know, here's the scripture. It says, don't ever cast away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. But you do have to have endurance that after you have done the will of God, you'll receive the promise. Heavenly Father, today we just thank you for your living word. Oh, how thankful we are for what it is that you did for us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who brought life and light and illumination to our hearts. God, I pray for every person here within the sound of my voice. Those that may be watching online, Lord God, I just thank you that if they're discouraged or if they feel as though they're in despair or distress, that God, today, this will be a new day for them. Hallelujah. And that, Lord, they'll rise up within themselves in their heart and they'll just say, God, you are more than enough. Hallelujah. You are sufficient to provide for my every need. And so again, I stand in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I thank you for your blessing in every house, every home, every family, every individual that's represented. Father, I thank you for giving wisdom to these families as they go down the road of life and parenting and in marriage and in all of the other aspects of their lives. I thank you, Father God, for divine resource, witty ideas, wisdom for what it is that they can do, Father God, that will generate income, that will increase their wealth. Thank you, Lord, for providing for their needs. Hallelujah. According to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, while your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, why don't you just lift up one hand toward heaven with me for a moment? And you know, depending on how or what the application might be in your life, maybe you just want to take this time and just speak, pray, and say, God, I know I haven't done just everything right here, but I'm here today to declare to you, Father, that I want to do life your way. I want to do things the way you planned. I want to see these things through as you would have them to. Just take that moment just right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, Father. You said that if we would come pray unto you, that you would hearken and hear our prayers. Glory to God. I thank you right now, Father. Hallelujah, for ministering to those that have come right now just to speak to you about their lives and the needs that are there. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening them with might by your Spirit in their inner man. Yes, yes, from within, Father, may there come the strength that is necessary to do the things that need to be done. Hallelujah. Lord, if there are things that need to be removed from their life, I ask you to give them the strength, the courage to discard and get rid of those things, Father, that are causing the problems. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in their lives. Yes, thank you, Father. Yes, thank you, Father. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, while your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I hear the Holy Ghost saying this. You're not that far off. There are just those few things that need to be done in order for you to be able to have the fulfillment that you're after in life. Hallelujah. So take care of the things, this, that, the other, and move forward in what it is that I have planned for you. And yes, the blessing of God will surely rest upon your life. It's not that far off. It's just around the corner. So care for those things that need to be done, and I will bring to pass those things that you have as desires within your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Well, while every head's bowed, eyes closed, and you're standing there in an attitude of prayer before the Lord, I want to ask an important question. You know, it could be that you're just away from God, came to the service and really haven't been living for Him, and that's where it all begins. We've got to get straight with Him. So if you happen to be in that place and you say, Pastor, I have an interest in your prayer because I got to get right here before I can do anything else. If that's you today, can I see your hand wherever you're standing that we might pray with you? Anybody? Hallelujah. If you're here today, maybe you've never made a decision to receive Christ. You know, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a decision that you make. And if you've never done that and you say by your uplifted hand, Pastor, I have an interest in your prayer. Can I see your hand, wherever it might be? Praise God. Anyone at all? All right, wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can all look up here at me. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today that this is the day that you made for me. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I'm telling you guys, praise stills the enemy and the avenger. Well, I don't much feel about it. I don't care about the way you feel. Lift up your voice. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, well, I could preach for a long time, but I need to quit. You just can't allow your flesh to dominate you. Are you listening to me? Your flesh don't want to do anything, especially when it comes to the things of God. Amen. How many of you, I mean, now I'll just say that. How many of you just really had you bolted out of bed because you knew this was Sunday to go to church? Well, some of you maybe. But you know, on the other hand, a lot of us are thinking, you know, you could have stayed home, had breakfast, drank a cup of coffee, turned on the live stream, but you didn't do that. I said, you didn't do that. Praise God. God bless you for that. Amen. There's nothing like a corporate setting where the anointing of God is. You can't get that in your bedroom, in your kitchen, or your living room. But you can sure enough get it here. So I just want to thank all of you, praise God, for being here today. I trust the message is encouraging to you, that you'll get out there and get after it. Praise God. Enjoy all that heaven has to afford. And don't forget, praise God, like Pastor Brian said, Mother's Day is coming up. It's going to be a great day, great time. And you won't want to miss that. And is there anything else I need to say? All right, greet those around you. And I want you to tell them, look them in the eye and say, you're going over. And you can be dismissed. God bless you.